In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's an unusual year this year for how we are celebrating Nativity, because we are on the Sunday before Nativity, which is a designated day in the Orthodox calendar that never falls before December 18th. But we also find ourselves in the forefeast of the Nativity, which is a five-day celebration, during which time our normal resurrectional service, which we get from a book called the Octuagus, or Book of the Eight Tones, is suspended completely up through Theophany. So we are in all special services during this time, and even though today is still dedicated to the resurrection of Christ. Tomorrow, when we enter into Christmas Eve, we enter into the Menaean services more properly for the festal day, while today remains kind of a mix. And it's an unusual day, too, because this is the time that we, as you just heard, look into the genealogy that St. Matthew's Gospel provides us. And, of course, he starts with Abraham and then goes forward from there. And it's interesting because he includes five women in this genealogy, which was very unusual in times past. In the days of the Jews, they would not do that. And even more scandalous, perhaps, is the fact that four of these women had a lot of issues, a lot of issues. But in order to show that our Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, did become a human being, St. Matthew wants to put all of these people in the mix, every one of them, and also shows us that in Christ there is no male or female. So he has no problems at all in giving us this fascinating mixture that we get. Now, of course, the forefathers of the church that we celebrated last week and that we sort of extract a subset today are ones that looked forward to Christ. They were pointing to Christ in all things, as the Lord himself told his disciples on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. Search the scriptures, for they speak of me, he also said. And you'll notice, too, that this is apparent in all things of the church. If you look at the apostles here, you'll notice that on each side, they are not always looking straight forward. They are turning in towards Christ in the mystical supper. They're looking and pointing forward towards him, not just showing themselves as they are apostles, but inclining themselves toward him, the same way the forefathers did towards our Lord as well. It was very important in terms of emphasizing this fact, because unlike our age, the age back then had no trouble believing in higher powers, believing in God, or in many cases, gods. The spiritual realm was something that was self-evident to them. What they had trouble with was coming to terms with the fact that God became man. And so this genealogy becomes very important. It sets that in stone. It says that this Jesus, whom we worship as God, did indeed become a man, that he is one of us, just like us, in all things except sin. His body is the same as ours. Blood ran through his veins. There was no different. And yet, of course, in this day and age, we've sort of flipped it, haven't we? Because now people seem to have all kinds of trouble with believing in a higher power, with believing in God. They have no trouble whatsoever recognizing Jesus as a great man, yet it's his godhood that seems to be the stumbling block. So we've gone complete circle here. But yet this genealogy tells us both. For after the genealogy is completed, after we hear about the 14 generations and the 14 generations and the 14 generations, then Matthew immediately goes into the miraculous nature surrounding the Lord's birth. Those wonderful words, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. and he goes through the entire story and how Jesus will be born of a virgin, fatherless in terms of a human father, yet completely with Father in terms of heaven. So already the gathering has come into place. Now that Matthew has surrounded us with this great cloud of witnesses, we come to the point at which all human history begins to turn, at which all human history begins to be renewed, and which all of human history is now fulfilled. Everything that happened in the history of the world, whether among the Jewish nation or among the pagans, everything centered around this one day. This was what all of humanity was leading up to and what all humanity had been prepared for. You can judge for yourselves how well prepared some of them were, because even though the Lord had given many indications of the fact that, you know, this was His time, that He was at the perfect place, the perfect time, that this was all according to the will of the Father, yet even the Jews themselves, many of the most devout, were not going to accept Him. It's not because they weren't necessarily prepared by the history of Israel and the things that had happened. It's because they had gotten so off track that they didn't understand what the real history of their nation was to be. They completely began to bleed other aspects of society and other aspects of what they thought the Messiah was, so that it covered up what was so clearly shown in the Old Testament once the Lord illuminated it. But yet they were to reject Him, weren't they? Even at His birth, so humble in its surroundings. Even after that, not long after that, we have the slaughter of the innocents, showing that even children were to be caught up in this great rejection of this Messiah who was Jesus Christ, who had come into the flesh. Even now, we experience the same things, don't we? History changes, for sure. People become more, perhaps, sophisticated, certainly more adept in their acquisition of knowledge and the things that they know, the things that they can acquire, the things that they can achieve, and the things that they can do. Yet spiritually speaking, they really remain in the ditch. There is no advancement in human beings' capacity for spiritual growth now than there was back then. The only thing that is different, that is offered to us in this great gift, is Jesus Christ. And yet, as we continue along this road, we turn from Him more and more. Take St. Matthew's genealogy to heart today. Understand that the Lord does come in the flesh amongst all of us, that it is a great gift, and that He has enabled every single one of us to become children of God, that we have heaven to look forward to. And even that, some people say, well, what really is heaven? You know, it seems so abstract. You know, why should I look forward to it? And I'll say to people, imagine the most beautiful things you have ever seen on earth, the most incredible things, the most glorious instances of people loving one another, the most beautiful days you've seen, all the wonderful things that grow on earth, the wonders of the Lord's creation. And we look at that and we think, this is just so fantastic. It's so uncluttered. It's so wonderful. Everything that the Lord has made. And yet, it doesn't even begin to compare with what awaits in heaven. It doesn't even compare. Heaven will be so much more glorious for all of us. A perfect realm with the Lord watching over us in His perfection for all eternity. This is what starts in this genealogy. This is what begins with these next few days that we're about to celebrate. Open your hearts to God. Now is the time for it. Now is when He beckons. Now is when He comes among us and says, "This is how much I love you, that I want to experience for myself being in your fleshly existence. I want to walk among you. I want to enjoy the things that you enjoy. I want to suffer the way that you suffer, because I love you that much, and that's why you were created." Keep these things in mind as we go on this wonderful journey in these next 2 days, where we will be fully ready and able to greet our Lord in the flesh. Amen.